Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, Ari.
And I'm Sophia. Today we're looking at a brand new flavor of algorithmic bias that is frankly a little dystopian.
Yeah, it turns out that if you use AI to screen resumes, the AI really, really likes applicants who used the exact same AI to write their resumes. We'll dive into the empirical evidence on that.
We're also talking about a ticking time bomb in the crypto world, the quantum computing threat to Satoshi's original Bitcoin stash, and a clever new cryptographic proposal to lock it down before it's too late.
Plus, we'll look at the growing pains of agentic coding tools and why Anthropic's Claude just can't seem to remember what folder it's in.
It's a packed show. Let's get into it.
Let's start with a paper published on Archive titled AI Self-Preferencing in Algorithmic Hiring, Empirical Evidence and Insights. This is one of those studies that confirms a creeping suspicion many of us have had about automated screening, but the actual numbers are worse than you might think.
Right. The researchers set out to test what happens when you use large language models to screen resumes, specifically looking at how they treat human-written resumes versus AI-generated ones. They put together a very robust data set of 2,245 human-written resumes and ran them through several leading models, including GPT-4o, Llama 3.370b, and DeepSeek V3.
And the top-level finding is staggering. The models exhibited a massive self-preference bias. We're talking about bias rates ranging from 68% all the way up to 92% across the various commercial and open-source models they tested.
To put that in practical, real-world terms, if a candidate used the exact same LLM to write their resume that the employer was using to evaluate it, they were 23% to 60% more likely to be shortlisted than an equally qualified candidate who submitted a human-written resume.
It's a fascinating and terrifying dynamic. The AI is essentially recognizing its own structural patterns, its own vocabulary choices, and its own rhetorical style, and it implicitly ranks that as higher quality. It's not actually evaluating the underlying skills or experience of the applicant. It's evaluating stylistic compliance with its own latent space.
Which creates this invisible, recursive loop of inequality. You have applicants out there using ChatGPT to write their cover letters because they know companies are using AI to screen them. But if the company happens to use an enterprise deployment of Claude or DeepSeek instead, your ChatGPT-optimized resume might actually get penalized relative to a resume generated by their specific model.
Exactly. It turns the entire job market into a literal black box guessing game. The researchers did point out a silver lining, though. They demonstrated that this bias can be reduced by over 60% through specific interventions targeting the LLM's self-recognition capabilities.
Right. You can prompt or fine-tune the model to account for this narcissism. But that assumes the HR software vendors actually care enough to implement those debiasing techniques. Until they do, we're looking at a scenario where accessing the correct premium AI tool becomes a hard prerequisite for even getting an interview.
And that is only going to widen existing socioeconomic disparities. It really calls into question the entire premise of algorithmic hiring. If the evaluator is just looking for a mirror reflection of itself, it's not a meritocracy. It's just an automated echo chamber.
Moving on to the intersection of quantum computing and cryptocurrency, there's a new proposal making waves, covered in a piece titled Paradigm Researcher Proposes PACS to Shield Dormant Bitcoin from Quantum Computing Risk, Bitcoin News.
The premise here relies on the looming threat that quantum computers will eventually break the elliptic curve digital signature algorithm, or ECDSA, which is the cryptography that currently secures Bitcoin. It's a known long-term issue, but it becomes a massive, immediate liability when you look at old, dormant wallets.
Specifically, we are talking about roughly 1.1 million Bitcoin, valued at over $75 billion at current prices. A large chunk of this is often attributed to Satoshi Nakamoto's early mining. These coins haven't moved in over a decade, and because of how early transactions worked, their public keys might be exposed in a way that makes them prime targets for future quantum-based key derivation attacks.
The Bitcoin developer community has been intensely debating how to handle this vulnerability. One prominent approach is sunsetting. Proposals like BIP 361 would essentially force users to migrate their funds to new quantum-resistant addresses by a certain date. If you don't move them, the network would freeze them to prevent theft.
But forcing movement creates a huge philosophical and practical dilemma. If you're the holder of a Satoshi-era wallet, moving those funds is a massive security risk and a privacy-destroying event. Or what if the owner simply lost their keys but might recover them in 20 years? Sunsetting permanently punishes inactivity, which goes against the core ethos of Bitcoin as a bearer asset.
So on May 1st, 2026, Paradigm researcher Dan Robinson proposed an alternative called PACTS, which stands for Provable Address Control Timestamps. It's a way to secure the network without forcing anyone's hand today.
The mechanics of PACTS are really clever. They allow holders to generate a cryptographic proof of ownership completely off-chain using an existing standard called BIP 322. Then you anchor that proof to the blockchain using a protocol called open timestamps.
Right. You don't actually move the funds, and you don't reveal your identity or your public key on the ledger. You just create a silent, timestamped proof that you currently control the private keys to that specific address.
The idea is that if the Bitcoin network eventually does have to implement a sunsetting freeze on those vulnerable old addresses, the holders who created a pact today will have a pre-established rescue path. They can use that timestamped proof later to recover their frozen assets and move them into a quantum secure framework. It's essentially a cryptographic insurance policy, but it's not without hurdles. Implementing this rescue path would require a future soft fork for Stark verification. And getting consensus on any soft fork in Bitcoin, let alone one dealing with recovering frozen assets, is notoriously difficult.
It is. But when you have $75 billion sitting there as a honeypot for the first nation-state or corporation to achieve cryptographically relevant quantum computing, the community is going to have to make a choice. Pacts at least offer a pragmatic middle ground between doing nothing and forcing everyone to expose their holdings.
Let's shift gears to the day-to-day reality of working with AI coding agents. There's a highly illustrative issue on GitHub right now titled Anthropics/Claude Code issue feature request native default working directory /CWD setting in settings.json.
Claude Code, for those who haven't used it, is Anthropic's new agentic terminal tool. It's designed to let you delegate complex coding tasks by giving the AI direct access to your local file system. It's incredibly powerful, but power users are running into a maddening friction point. The agent keeps forgetting what folder it's in.
The user who opened this issue actually brought hard data, which is exactly what you want in a bug report. They measured the agent's behavior across a 30-day period on a long-running active project. Out of 1,113 Bash tool calls made by the AI, 458 of them had to be manually prefixed with a CD command just to navigate back to the project root.
That means 41% of all Bash commands required manual handholding to establish the working directory. And the user noted that the daily rate of this happening actually increased over time as the project structure got deeper and more complex.
The root of the problem is that the shell state doesn't persist across Bash calls. Users are constantly seeing these shell CWD was reset messages in the terminal. The agent effectively gets teleported back to the root directory after certain operations, completely losing its navigational context.
And if you're working in a large monorepo with multiple nested microservices, that context loss is fatal to the workflow. The user is asking for a simple default working directory directive in a local settings JSON file to lock the agent into a specific path.
But digging into the discussion on the issue tracker, it reveals how fragile these agentic systems still are. Other users noted that even seemingly unrelated configurations, like having a custom status line command in your terminal profile, can trigger these unexpected shell resets.
It raises a great architectural question. Is this constant resetting a deliberate safety feature by Anthropic to prevent the agent from accidentally running a destructive command in the wrong folder? Or is it just an unintended side effect of how they are spinning up and tearing down shell subprocesses?
Whatever the cause, it highlights the vast gap between the promise of autonomous AI agents and the reality on the ground.
We expect these models to maintain a consistent, complex mental model of a sprawling code base. But if they can't even maintain object permanence regarding their current working directory, they aren't truly autonomous.
It's the AI equivalent of walking into a room and forgetting why you went in there 458 times a month. It shows that the next frontier in AI tooling isn't just about making the language model smarter, it's about making the scaffolding and the state management around them much more robust.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
I've got a batch of quick hits, ranging from Hollywood rules to high school calculators.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences just dropped new rules for the 2027 Oscars regarding AI, and it's a direct response to the generative video boom. According to the Syracuse.com piece, Major Award Show Makes New Rules About AI International Films, acting performances must now be demonstrably performed by humans, with their consent, and screenplays must be human-authored.
The Academy is explicitly reserving the right to request detailed information about AI use in post-production. It's a noble effort to preserve human authorship, but honestly, good luck verifying that consent when half of Hollywood's VFX pipelines are already heavily integrating AI upscaling and generation tools.
Next, a stark reminder about the physical risks of our device-heavy lives. From Channel 3000, lithium-ion batteries cause fire in Madison home. On April 30th, firefighters responded to a blaze caused by a bundle of charging lithium-ion batteries in a bedroom. Fortunately, there were no injuries this time, but it follows a much more severe incident in March, where a single malfunctioning small appliance battery caused $100,000 in damage and displaced two households. Fire departments are increasingly warning about the dangers of thermal runaway, especially when multiple devices are stacked or bundled together while charging. For the PC building enthusiasts, we finally have an answer to a long-standing mystery. The article, Why Does It Take So Long to Release Black Fan Versions?, breaks down Noctua's engineering constraints. The Chromax.Black version of their flagship NFA12X25G2 fan is launching a full 10 months after the standard beige and brown version.
It turns out you can't just swap the dye. Black pigments, typically carbon black, have smaller particles that alter the melt viscosity and heat absorption during injection molding. Because Noctua uses a specialized Sterox LCP material with insanely tight 0.5 millimeter tip clearances, even a minor material change means they have to redo the entire tooling and validation process.
In the education tech space, Texas Instruments has launched the TI-84 Evo, a $160 graphing calculator. It boasts a processor that's three times faster, 50% more graphing space, and finally, USB-C charging. But the most interesting part is what it doesn't have. It explicitly lacks Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and internet access. TI is heavily marketing it as a distraction-free device, leaning into the growing movement of schools banning smartphones and trying to pull students back into focused, single-task environments. Finally, a piece of internet history has quietly powered down. As of May 1st, 2026, Ask.com has officially closed its doors. Parent company IAC decided to completely discontinue its search business.
Founded in 1996 as Ask Jeeves, it was one of the earliest search engines to let users input natural language questions. They abandoned their in-house crawler back in 2010 to become a Q&A site, but it's still a poignant end. In a way, their original vision of a conversational, butler-like interface was the direct precursor to the AI chatbots that ultimately made their legacy search model obsolete.
All right, that's all the time we have for today's briefing. Thanks for tuning in to Naracast.
Be sure to check the show notes for more tech news.
Stay curious, and we'll see you then.